welcome to the History Behind the Hymns podcast. This is episode number 2. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. I am one of many, many Christians who still love the old hymns of the faith, even more than many modern Christian songs. For the past 33 years, my wife and children and I have sung the old hymns during our family devotion time. And I have been doing it for 40 years. Over the years, we have used an independent Baptist hymn book, a national Baptist hymn book, and a Southern Baptist hymn book to sing the old hymns of the faith. And yes, they all have some songs that the others don't have. That's why we used so many books. And we have sung the old hymns of the faith with traditional Methodist churches online. The old hymns of the faith have been a tremendous source of blessing and encouragement to my heart down through the years. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage you to dust off your old hymn book and experience the power and blessing of well-written hymns based upon sound doctrine from the Word of God for the glory of God that will strengthen your faith and help you to be the Christian that God wants you to be. The history behind the hymns passage of scripture for today is Romans 8:38-39, which reads, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." The history behind the hymns quote for today is from our dear sister, who has had a tremendous impact upon our country and the world for her faith. And I had the wonderful joy of meeting at the homegoing private funeral of Dr. Billy Graham, Joni Erickson Tata. She said, "What a way to learn great theology." That's what comes to mind whenever I sing one of those old hymns. And can it be? It's like putting the doctrine of salvation to music. "Come thou fount of every blessing" is a melodic lesson in grace. No wonder good hymns make for strong faith. And she is so right. The quote in connection to today's hymn is from Dr. Rick Warren. He said, "God is love. He didn't need us, but he wanted us. And that is the most amazing thing." Our hymn for today is "The Love of God, Part 2, by Frederick M. Lehman. It reads, again, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever more endure, the saints and angels' song. Now here is part two of the history behind the hymn, The Love of God, according to Al Smith's Treasury of Hymn Histories. Frederick M. Lehman tried and tried to come up with a third stanza, but to no avail. The words just would not fall into place. It was then that he remembered a poem someone had given him some time before. Hunting around, he found the poem printed on a card, which he had used as a bookmark. As Mr. Lehman read the words, his heart was thrilled by the adequate picture of God's love they pictured. He then noticed this writing on the bottom of the card. These words were found written on a cell wall in a prison some 200 years ago. It is not known why the prisoner was incarcerated. Neither is it known if the words were original or if he had heard them somewhere and had decided to put them in a place where he could be reminded of the greatness of God's love. Whatever the circumstances, he wrote them on the wall of his prison cell some 200 years ago. In due time, he died, and the men who had the job of repainting his cell were impressed by the words. Before their paint brushes had obliterated them, one of the men jotted them down, and thus they were preserved. Lehman went to the piano and began to voice the words with the melody he had just written. They were a perfect fit. It was a miracle. The song was published and remains today with these words as the last stanza. In later years, the origin of these words became known to Alfred B. Smith, which reveals an even greater miracle in the writing of this song. The original third stanza was written in Hebrew around the year 1000 by Meir ben Isaac Nehoria, a Jewish rabbi. God, knowing that Lehman was going to write a song also realized that Laman would have trouble writing a third stanza, and so he chose this rabbi, who, though not accepting Christ as the Messiah, did possess the skills to graphically paint a picture of God's love in words. He would preserve these words, and then hundreds of years later, he would have them translated by this prisoner into a language that did not as yet exist fully, namely English. And to think, he did it in the exact meter to fit Laman's melody. In our next episode, beloved, we will look at the history behind the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, by Horatio Spafford. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And we still find it all amazing. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor. For all of it is due your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, this hymn honors God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to get to know him today and trust him as your Savior, here is how. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. You have broken God's commandments, his Ten Commandments, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have lied before. We have stolen things before. We have taken God's name in vain before. All of us have sinned against God. You have and I have. We're all guilty before God and we deserve hell. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. For the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else. You have already done enough. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states very plainly in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, beloved, hell is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. If you're ready to trust Christ as Savior and pray that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer and be saved today, please follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after and coveted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, thank you for listening to the history behind the hymns. May God bless you and keep you until we meet again.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to
ascribed by a dream.